again, taking that technology from our research institutions and getting into the hands of those people who want to be the innovators, because sometimes those are two different people. You know, you got people, they love their research, but they don't want to pursue the business with it. So how do we connect that, and how do we because we don't want to do research and let it sit on the shelf. We want research out there improving the lives of our citizens.
Welcome to Hangar X Studios, where former fighter pilot and host John Ramstad takes us on a journey across aerospace as it enters an historic period of innovation and transformation. Our guests include aviation experts, pilots, financiers, military leaders, and innovators of all types. Buckle up for another episode of Hangar X.
Hey, welcome to Hangar X Studios, and we are live at the Hive in Grand Forks, North Dakota, and we've been having some incredible conversations about the entire UAS infrastructure that exists up here. And today we have a special guest, Senator Jeff Barta. Senator, thank you for being on the podcast.
Thanks for the invitation.
Yeah, and you actually left the legislative session to be here. You had to get permission to be here today.
Yeah,
didn't you?
I had to, it wasn't a signed note, but I had to check with the leadership. As soon as we finished committee work this morning, I jumped in the vehicle and headed here so we could.
Yeah, and you drove over from Bismarck.
From Bismarck, correct.
So that's quite the drive. So
yeah,
I really appreciate
hours,
your time. 3.5 hours. And you know what, though? You and your colleagues have made, the business climate, the environment here in Grand Forks has really, there is an incredible foundation. This has been very intentional, and it has been a beautiful partnership between the business community, the mayor, the state legislators, the Air Force even, right? We were talking about all these stakeholders that are part of us, that some of the tenants and companies that are here. So I'd love for you to, just share a little bit of background, though, for yourself, why this has become a focus of what you're doing, one of the focuses that you're doing in the legislature.
Well, became aware of it when I was sitting on our local chamber board, and that led me to having more of an interest in running. But in my first session, so I'm halfway through my first session, within our commerce budget, the topic of funding, the grants guy, continued funding, so we can see the success of that, and our Northern Plains test site. So as the conversation around their budgets and funding those came up, I got more and more into that, and those conversations started asking more questions like, how do we support that? I saw the value that brings, and how, as a state, we've been leaders in this for a while, being the first test site. Like, we want to maintain that, and we want to elevate the industry as best we can. So we need to continue to support that financially and from that infrastructure standpoint. So it began with the conversation of funding those projects and how we can continue to do that and continue it to attract the best and brightest in the country in the UAS world.
That's right. Now, as you dug into it and actually looked at, okay, if we're going to deploy funds, there's got to be an ROI for the state, for the community, for the average citizen up here in North Dakota, or to attract people to come move here. Where did you see the, the connection between that funding and an ROI for the community?
Yeah, because ROI was one of those questions, right? And we're getting that more and more in these days. What is our return on investment? What are we getting for those dollars? And in typical world, people are saying, we've spent, $100,000 on it. What revenue have we generated from that? And that's difficult because this is still in the research and early development stages. We're not into that full commercialization stage. And, how far away from that? It's a lot of excitement. I think we're a lot closer to that. So it became focusing on more on the public service and building that infrastructure. When you look at the role of government and what it should be doing, some of it is that infrastructure side and getting a better understanding of what infrastructure is needed for UAS. That's where we tie into the what's happening with the Vantus network and the Northern Plains test site. So that was an important piece of that, because ultimately, now focusing in on just our North Dakota citizenry, as rural an area as it is, we have underserved areas from the standpoint, primarily healthcare, but in law enforcement, and how we can deploy resources, UAS resources, give us an opportunity to serve the citizens out in those areas with services that they either don't have entirely or it takes them a long time to get.
Yeah, and you talked about there's an infrastructure. The government is, you know, it's this partnership. But what are your priorities as you look at this on infrastructure that takes where things are now and then maybe would move it to the next level?
Yeah, well, this session, and we just we were able to get the funding through, but the $11 million that the state put in to obtain the FAA radar feed, because that really created a great extension of the test site network and what we can cover. And maybe you've had that conversation with others, but how we've gone from, and I may be wrong on the numbers, I think it was 3,600 square miles to 54,000 square miles. I mean, we went from covering just these small pockets of North Dakota with the Vantus network to covering almost the entire state.
Well, see, I knew that Vantus, we were actually just over at Gorman Field.
Okay.
And we were talking about it with, because that's where University of North Dakota, the Aerospace Foundation, mm-hmm. has actually built a place to test fly UAS and short takeoff and landing aircraft, and the test site is incredible, but also the Vantus, we knew the Vantus airspace was limited. It sounds to me like that actually now could dramatically change.
Yeah.
Which could attract a lot of players to be coming up here and putting bases here to have access to this.
And it expands that opportunity for truly BV loss operations across the state.
Yeah, and BV loss, if people don't know, is beyond visual line of sight, which is actually a big enabler to drone services, because I know one of your passion projects is the Rural Reach Project.
Yeah.
And we interviewed iSight, that is a drone service company here that the state is going to be working with, partnering with possibly in this. Could you talk a little bit about what that is?
And that's a separate, that was my day hat.
Yep.
As I serve, I stepped into a role as project manager with the Center for Innovation at UND, taking over what we've now labeled the Project Rural Reach. So it involves three use tests. One of those use tests was going to focus on rural delivery. iSight was the recipient. They won got the award for the RFP for that. And so that's going to focus on rural delivery. Hopefully, we're going to make that.
Now, rural delivery of medicine?
Well, that's what we focused on in the
scenarios. Okay, that's going to be like the first test case?
Yeah, that's what we like to do. Because there was already a project out on MHA Nation, which is in the western part of the state, the Mandan, Hidatsa, Arikara Nation around the Newtown area, where Vantus is already established. And they did a DOT smart grant project where they were looking to deliver insulin from a facility in Newtown out to Twin Buttes is where it was.
Okay.
So there was a project.
What's the distance there, do you know?
That one, as the crow flies, I think it was, with that one, it was about 26 miles, but because of the vastness, the lake, only one bridge in that part of it, that would have taken a 90 or 120 minute drive to deliver that medication. So very significant impact on the citizenry there. And in visiting with healthcare providers out in the West, where we hope to do our use test in our flight with iSight, is two communities. Watford City,
I
built a new hospital, heart of oil country, but they are they rely on getting supplies and medications from facility in Williston, hospital in Williston.
Yeah.
56 miles by road, and they had an incident. I was visiting with the CEO there, where they had a premature delivery.
Okay.
So they had an infant that was born, and they needed a medication that they call surfactant. And so they had to call to Williston to get that. A 4 ounce vial of medicine, or not a 4 ounce, 4 milliliter, a very small dose. So they deployed law enforcement to do emergency run, ran that medication there. So about an hour drive, whereas if we could deliver that medicine, a life-saving medication to that infant, we could have done that beyond visual line of sight in approximately 25, 30 minutes.
And you probably could have done it faster because I could have run it up to the roof of the clinic and zipped it off versus having to probably go through the approvals to get law enforcement to detail a car to be able to drive over there, and then he's out of service an hour there and an hour
so
back.
So how does that fit into the ROI, right?
Right?
We're taking a law enforcement asset off the road. We're, are we making the citizenry vulnerable to a situation? But it struck me because in 1990, I had premature children.
Oh, you did? Okay.
We had twins born.
So this is his home
for you. Surfactant was in the exploratory stages. We had to, our children, right after birth, had to go 90 miles or 70 miles from here. They had to go from Grand Forks to Fargo to because they didn't have that medication here. That was a research facility. So they were trials with surfactant as a medication. So surfactant, I contend, saved the life of my daughter.
Wow. That must have been a
I heard that story from the CEO, well, you know, the ambulance did it, and yeah, our first children, yeah, that was, infants that were born at 1 pound, 11 ounces and 2 pounds, 4 ounces. That was,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. They were tiny. So
little ones. How are they doing today?
Our son was only with us 4 days, but my daughter's here living in town, and her and her husband are thriving. And,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Grandkids?
No, grand dog. So
grand dog. Fair enough. Yes, I have a grandson and a grand dog. And I also know as part of this UAS ecosystem that you're focused on. Mm-hmm. And also, I'd love for you to share also from the Center of Innovation at UND how these tie together as we're focusing on economic development. Because what we're seeing here, there's a fantastic foundation, but the potential here, I really think, is, you know, 10x from even where what we have right now. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on how they're working together.
Yeah, well, as part of that, just connecting people and getting, you know, got people coming with a great idea, but they're not sure where to start or who they even, where they need to go with things.
Yeah.
Just recently had a conversation with some young gentleman with a great idea in the medical delivery side, you know, looking at developing prescription medications. But what we could do at the center is provide them a space like they have at the Hive here where they can establish a North Dakota presence so they can get involved as part of our ecosystem.
Yep.
Opens funding opportunities for them, and just being in this space, hanging with better people, right? You know, people within that industry. And what we have, what the Center for Innovation offers, is more those people, helping them evolve that idea until they get to the point where they can actually develop that business, so it can move them out into an incubator like the Hive. So it's that, probably that step one, get them introduced to maybe some of the instructors and the professors at UND that can help them learn more about what needs to be done, and or even students coming from the university who have that idea, working with their instructor to elevate that idea to true fruition.
Yeah, and you're looking at both hardware, software platforms. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the companies we had on XTI Aerospace is actually doing their, they've now have space in the Hive. They hired a team that's come out of UND to build all their subscale prototypes. And just, you know, isn't been an entrepreneur for a long time, right? You need, honestly, access to mentorship. Like, okay, I have an idea, but how do I turn it into a for-profit business? I need access to capital, and through the economic development here, there's a lot of that there. But the other thing that you really need that I struggled with as an entrepreneur is access to media. How do I get my word out there? How do I do it well? How do I get training on
Absolutely.
How to speak to groups or individuals, and then the whole sales process, because a lot of people are engineers. But so on the economic development side, where are your priorities on those state funds, and how do you deploy them? Do you think that's going to be the best benefit for your constituents here?
Well, you know, it becomes competitive, and we have the, you know,
part I suppose of you guys all, you guys
well,
right?
Well, and it becomes a little territorial, you know, because we have a number of projects, development projects here and throughout the state. You know, our number one industry is ag and energy.
Yep.
You know, so, and, but to that point, it's that energy as being one of our top industries that's elevated the UAS, and we look at what is done, and if you brought up EyeSight earlier,
right,
and what they've done with flying that infrastructure.
Well, they're 90% of their business is critical energy infrastructure.
Exactly.
So there's this symbiotic between the revenues that are generated from the oil fields to then fuel, you know, tech startups and business growth. Is that fair?
Yeah. Well, you look at it and said, oh, we're doing this. What else could we do with our aircraft and the operations that we have? And even, you know, from the rural delivery, even though I've been focusing the conversation on the medical delivery, but the crucial impact within that. One of the things that we suffer from out west and even developing, and I think it's across the country, is the number of CDL drivers. Well, out in the oil field,
okay.
I was visiting with someone who runs some CDL programs. Say, part of the problem that we're seeing is we have CDL drivers that are off the road because they're doing these hotshot runs delivering parts out to the oil field.
Okay.
And it's quite lucrative, but it's kind of a loss of a CDL. So why, how much better would we be served if we could deliver that using drones?
Well, here, you know, here's an interesting stat for you. We're working with a company, and they just got a Navy contract. And the Navy does 3,500 missions a year for critical parts. And they surveyed the weight of all these. 40% were less than 12 ounces.
Oh.
70% were less than 2 pounds. And 96% were less than 50 pounds.
Wow.
So think about right now, there's drones that have that capacity. If we actually analyzed what they might need in the oil field. So there's actually a large oil field operator out of the Middle East that's actually looking at using this platform because they think the percentage is going to be similar.
Oh.
And so think about it, a CDL guy might be taken off the road for a 20-pound part, but it's costing that company $1 million an hour.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Right? So it's just, again, utilization of our resources, which some of that we're lacking. I mean, people is you know, we have jobs, we don't have enough people for them. But let's not limit it to the energy sector.
Right.
You know, when it comes to ag production, harvest time, we have a small window. And it's dependent on weather. So when we have a breakdown out in the field, in the middle of harvest, that's crucial. And it, how long does it take for us to get that part delivered to them via traditional terrestrial vehicles versus...
Because they could be way out in the field, which would be hard unless you had an off-road
and
truck.
Again,
is that fair?
You know, at least here in North Dakota, we have a nice grid system with our road. It's, you know, there's the benefit of living in flat country. You can make truly a grid system. You don't have winding roads, but you still have to. They have to be navigable. And so again, that straight line of flight versus having to weave your way through some roads, but. It could be a much more delivery efficient delivery system for those people. And precision ag is a big part of what we're doing. And I don't know if you've visited with any ag people while you've been up here in the role of UAS and that, but that's a whole other sector.
You know, we haven't, but we'll need to, maybe we can coordinate on some of those guys that'd be good to come up and talk to about how they're using UAS in their operations. I think that'd be a great story.
Well, and I segue. I expand that into UAV, you know, autonomous vehicles as well.
Sure. Now, share a little bit about your role at the Center for Innovation at University of North Dakota also.
Yeah.
And kind of what their role is here.
Well, so with that, I started just coming in to pinch hit to finish this rural reach project that I'm working on, but I'll be taking on a CBIR director role here once I get out of the legislature, once we finish session. So again, it's...
So you're going to help companies get the CBIR grants through the SBA,
yep.
Right, which is... I can't remember what CBIR...
Small Business Innovation Research.
There you go. So these are grants for companies that have really cutting-edge ideas. They're trying to develop an idea into a commercial product.
Or even researchers taking their product, elevating their product toward
commercialization, right? Yep. That is kind of one of the metrics, yeah.
And then the other part of that was the small tech transfer aspect, which is, again, taking that technology from our research institutions and getting into the hands of those people who want to be the innovators, because sometimes those are two different people. You know, you got people, they love their research, but they don't want to pursue the business with it. So how do we connect that, and how do we because we don't want to do research and let it sit on the shelf. We want research out there improving the lives of our citizens.
Well, you know, there's so many projects that are great ideas, and they just die in this valley of death between having enough expertise or capital to take some of the best ideas ever and commercialize them. And some of the best ideas ever are just still sitting at the other end of this valley. And these programs are really important because they help entrepreneurs and companies get through that.
Yeah. Well, and the key word to that is the capital. You know, the capital is that is one of the roles with it. Giving the dollars to elevate that research and the innovation and getting them in touch with people who are willing to put some money into that so we can elevate it, because it just doesn't happen.
Well, in North Dakota and, you know, through the state and... locally, some of the programs you guys have come up with to help entrepreneurs with access to capital have been, has that been anything you've played a role in?
Well, just entering into it now, just part of the conversations. I don't get so much into those things in the committees that I'm serving on. I happen to chair our industry and business, so I'm more, right now I'm more on the regulatory side of things, so I deal a lot with that. But that being said, banking is part of that. So, you know, how we're, you know, here in North Dakota, we have a great asset in the Bank of North Dakota. And they're kind of the backbone for some of that, the funding too. And what we have with our Lyft Fund is one in particular. So that helps facilitate that technology development and growth.
I love that. So, you know, as we kind of wrap up, what are just some final thoughts you have for people watching that are, you know, looking at either growing their business here or they're thinking of coming here or maybe even expanding their operations? Like, you know, we came up here, 6 months ago, and now we're opening a studio here. We have an office here. We've hired people here. Like, this is an incredible ecosystem that we didn't know existed until I was up here on a business trip and met Johnny Ryan over here at the Hive. So,
I think it's that collaboration.
Yeah.
You know, I talk about communication and collaboration. You know, that's the key piece of that. And, you know, what it creates, and we see that in, it's within this three block area, just the downtown Grand Forks, we have. The people that you run into, you know, with the Olivan Hotel down the street.
Oh, it's a fantastic place.
Who you run into in the lobby and the conversations you just strike up, you know. You get the napkin deals and the napkin ideas.
These are major companies from Northrop Grumman, General Atomics, Cirrus Aircraft. I mean, the list goes on and on and on who've decided to make a serious presence here.
Yeah, I'm sure someone that you've met with already up here has thrown out the Cilladrone Valley moniker. And so rolling with that. But it is just putting great minds, great people together so they can create great ideas. So
yeah, fantastic. Well, let me ask you a question. So as a legislator, what can the business community do? You know, the tenants of the Hive here, these 28, you know, people that are building companies, what can they do to feed into what you guys are doing at the legislature to help you guys with your mission?
Well, I think it's the education.
Okay.
You know, so this platform in itself and introducing to it, because, and at least from my experience here, it is gaining that knowledge and what we have to deal with because we are citizen legislators. You know, we go there 80 days out of the year or out of the biennium to deal with issues. But there's so many issues to try to grasp.
Yeah.
So the more we can share information, and I've even encouraged my legislators from other parts of the state to come on out here and visit us. Because we can have conversations around the Capitol or in the chamber about these great things going. But one of the frustrating things when going back to the funding spot aspect was people say, well, that's a Grand Forks project.
Mm.
And I say, UAS is not a Grand Forks project. It's a North Dakota project. It's a United States project. It's a world project.
It is.
You know, so don't undersell what we have going on here and what we can do to elevate the UAS ecosystem and the commercialization of it. We are leaders in it. We've invested the money. You know, our congressional delegation going years back, Senator Hovind with the work he started as governor when he was governor. You know, that laid the groundwork for this. But it started out of how we could support the air base and sustain our mission of the air base. And one thing just led to another, and just broke down those barriers. But the education is the big part. We need to make people aware. Talk about the problem of the Midwest, sometimes we're too humble. We don't want to share our successes with people. We kind of take that aw shucks thing.
Right.
I've heard that consistently. We need to brag about ourselves a little bit more. So this is an opportunity to
We're giving you a megaphone, and we want you to brag, and we want you know, we want people to actually understand what's happening here.
Yeah.
And you're right, it's not just Grand Forks. It's across, like, there's, what, three or four major Air Force bases up here. There's a Space Force base that's now been designated and built just north of here, about an hour. They're doing some really advanced testing that nobody can talk about, so I'm sure it's really, really cool up there. But
and so the two major bases, Grand Forks, which
Minot,
which, you know, talk about, they're part of, it's the only base that has two parts of the nuclear triad.
Mm-hmm.
So the joke is, well, we've got the missiles, so we got those with the warheads. It's home for the B-52s, so they have the airborne ones. But it's the only water we have is Lake Sakakawea, and that's a little too small for the submarines with the missiles. So
yeah, I was a Navy guy. There's no Navy yeah. bases here.
So we won't have the third leg here, but we talked about the two legs of the triad, and we do what we can to support it. And Grand Forks is a community is very proud of how we support our military installations,
yep.
and that was one of the pieces that I happened to be working, put a lot of time and energy in this year, which we just got passed, was an encroachment bill to protect
Colonel Monroe was here, and one of the things he said was this has been one of the most welcoming communities he's ever had the pleasure to command, as far as this, you know, between the base and the city. But he goes, everywhere they went, his airmen would hear, not only thank you for your service, but thank you for my freedom.
Yeah.
Think about that. I mean, that was such a great group of, you know, red-blooded Americans, patriotic, great work ethic, you know, forward-thinking, doing some great things. They're just good people here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I've known nothing else because I haven't ventured too far from here. I've lived here all my life, so I haven't experienced the world outside of North Dakota a whole lot.
Oh, I've been all over the world, and there's good people here. I'll just leave it at that. How's that?
Great. We'll take that.
All right.
We'll accept that.
Senator, thank you so much for making the time and coming. And you are welcome to come on anytime.
Absolutely.
You know, you or your colleagues, if you got something you're working on, you want to get the word out, we want to raise that megaphone.
Yep.
Or you got some wins. Let's talk about some wins.
This is just the beginning. I want to take bigger... bigger projects. This project, the Rural Reach, starting with small drones, and certainly want to start exploring the advanced air mobility stuff. You know, my vision is for these rural communities. Let's get an air ambulance going. So
I think that is something we should talk about. And you know, as Rural Reach takes off, you know, it'd be fun to come back and have you and some of the guys at iSight, maybe some of our stakeholders, and let's kind of do a panel. Let's just talk about the win and how the business and the community and the state legislature, how we all came together to actually create a service that benefited everybody.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
And it provides business, profitable business for one company, saves lives, frees up resources cops. You want to save one life, but not at the expense of a community, right? So like you talked about, so... awesome. Well, what a great, this has been a great conversation. Yeah. I look forward to the next one.
Too bad we have a time limit. So
yeah, too bad. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it.